Welcome to day 267 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host, and I'm happy you've joined with me today as we are going to complete the book of Esther. Today we will be reading Esther chapters 6 through 10 in the New American Standard Bible. And as we began yesterday to enter into this very fascinating book of history, in the Old Testament, it speaks to us of the divine providence of God working in the affairs of men to bring them toward a worthy point in the will of God. And we saw that with the Jewish nation being plotted against for its destruction by a single man whose name was Haman. And then in today's reading, we're going to hear how God ordained circumstances to work out in such a way that this plot of Haman would be completely turned around upon him rather than upon the Jewish nation. And it all starts out with a king who couldn't sleep. So we will begin in chapter 6, starting at the first verse. During that night, the king could not sleep, so he gave an order to bring the book of records, the chronicles, and they were read before the king. It was found written that what Mordecai had reported concerning Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs who were doorkeepers, that they had sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. The king said, "What honor or dignity has been bestowed on Mordecai for this?" Then the king's servants who attended him said, "Nothing has been done for him." So the king said, "Who is in the court?" Now Haman had just entered the outer court of the king's palace in order to speak to the king about hanging Mordecai on the gallows which he had prepared for him. The king's servant said to him, "Behold, Haman is standing in the court." And the king said, "Let him come in." So Haman came in, and the king said to him, "What is to be done for the man whom the king desires to honor?" And Haman said to himself, "Whom would the king desire to honor more than me?" Then Haman said to the king, "For the man whom the king desires to honor, let him bring a royal robe which the king has worn, and the horse on which the king has ridden, and on whose head a royal crown has been placed. And let the robe and the horse be handed over to one of the king's most noble princes, and let them array the man whom the king desires to honor, and lead him on horseback throughout the city square, and proclaim before him, 'Thus it shall be done to the man whom the king desires to honor.'" Then the king said to Haman, "Take quickly the robes and the horse, as you have said, and do so for Mordecai the Jew, who is sitting at the king's gate. Do not fall short in anything of all that you have said." So Haman took the robe and the horse and arrayed Mordecai and led him on horseback through the city square and proclaimed before him, "Thus it shall be done to the man whom the king desires to honor." Then Mordecai returned to the king's gate, but Haman hurried home, mourning with his head covered. Haman recounted to Zeresh his wife and all his friends everything that had happened to him. Then his wise men and Zeresh his wife said to him, "If Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of Jewish origin, you will not overcome him, but will surely fall before him." While they were still talking with him, the king's eunuchs arrived and hastily brought Haman to the banquet which Esther had prepared. Chapter 7. Now the king and Haman came to drink wine with Esther the queen. And the king said to Esther on the second day also, as they drank their wine at the banquet, What is your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted you. And what is your request? Even to half of the kingdom it shall be done. Then Queen Esther replied, If I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given me as my petition, and my people as my request. For we have been sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be killed, to be annihilated. Now, if we had only been sold as slaves, men and women, I would have remained silent, for the trouble would not be commensurate with the annoyance to the king. Then King Ahasuerus asked Queen Esther, Who is he and where is he who would presume to do thus? Esther said, A foe and an enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman became terrified before the king and queen. The king arose in his anger from drinking wine and went into the palace garden. But Haman stayed to beg for his life from Queen Esther, for he saw that harm had been determined against him by the king. Now when the king returned from the palace garden into the place where they were drinking wine, Haman was falling on the couch where Esther was. Then the king said, Will he even assault the queen with me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Then Harbona, one of the eunuchs who were before the king, said, Behold, indeed, the gallows standing at Haman's house, 50 cubits high, which Haman made for Mordecai, who spoke good on behalf of the king. And the king said, Hang him on it. So they hanged Haman on the gallows which he had prepared for Mordecai, and the king's anger subsided. Chapter 8. On that day, King Ahasuerus gave the house of Haman, the enemy of the Jews, to Queen Esther, and Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had disclosed what he was to her. The king took off his signet ring, which he had taken away from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. Then Esther spoke again to the king, fell at his feet, wept, and implored him to avert the evil scheme of Haman the Agagite and his plot which he had devised against the Jews. The king extended the golden scepter to Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king. Then she said, If it pleases the king, and if I have found favor before him, and the matter seems proper to the king, and I am pleasing in his sight, let it be written to revoke the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews who are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the calamity which will befall my people? And how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? So King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther and to Mordecai the Jew, Behold, I have given the house of Haman to Esther, and him they have hanged on the gallows, because he has stretched out his hands against the Jews. Now you write to the Jews as you see fit in the king's name and seal it with the king's signet ring. For a decree which is written in the name of the king and sealed with the king's signet ring may not be revoked. So the king's scribes were called at that time in the third month, that is the month Sivan, on the 23rd day, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded to the Jews, the satraps, the governors, and the princes of the provinces, which extended from India to Ethiopia, 127 provinces, to every province according to its script, and to every people according to their language, as well as to the Jews according to their script and their language. He wrote in the name of King Ahasuerus and sealed it with the king's signet ring and sent letters by couriers on horses, riding on steeds sired by the royal stud. In them the king granted the Jews who were in each and every city the right to assemble and to defend their lives, to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate the entire army of any people or province which might attack them, including children and women, and to plunder their spoil. On one day, in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, the 13th day of the 12th month, that is the month Adar, a copy of the edict to be issued as law in each and every province was published to all the peoples, so that the Jews would be ready for this day to avenge themselves on their enemies. The couriers hastened and, impelled by the king's command, went out, riding on the royal steeds, and the decree was given out at the citadel in Susa. Then Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal robes of blue and white, with a large crown of gold and a garment of fine linen and purple, and the city of Susa shouted and rejoiced. For the Jews there was light and gladness and joy and honor. In each and every province and in each and every city, wherever the king's commandment and his decree arrived, there was gladness and joy for the Jews, a feast and a holiday. And many among the peoples of the land became Jews, for the dread of the Jews had fallen on them. Chapter 9. Now in the 12th month, that is the month Adar, on the 13th day, when the king's command and edict were about to be executed, on the day when the enemies of the Jews hoped to gain the mastery over them, it was turned to the contrary, so that the Jews themselves gained the mastery over those who hated them. The Jews assembled in their cities throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to lay hands on those who sought their harm, and no one could stand before them, for the dread of them had fallen on all the peoples. Even all the princes of the provinces, the satraps, the governors, and those who were doing the king's business assisted the Jews, because the dread of Mordecai had fallen on them. Indeed, Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame spread throughout all the provinces, for the man Mordecai became greater and greater. Thus the Jews struck all their enemies with the sword, killing and destroying, and they did what they pleased to those who hated them. At the citadel in Susa, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men, and Parshan, Datha, Dalphon, Aspatha, Poratha, Adalia, Aridatha, Parmashta, Arisai, Aridai, and Vyazatha, the 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hamadatha, the Jews' enemy, but they did not lay their hands on the plunder. On that day, the number of those who were killed at the citadel in Susa was reported to the king. The king said to Queen Esther, "The Jews have killed and destroyed 500 men and the 10 sons of Haman at the citadel in Susa. What then have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now, what is your petition? It shall even be granted you. And what is your further request? It shall also be done." Then said Esther, "If it pleases the king, let tomorrow also be granted to the Jews who are in Susa to do according to the edict of today, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows." So the king commanded that it should be done so, and an edict was issued in Susa, and Haman's 10 sons were hanged. The Jews who were in Susa assembled also on the 14th day of the month, Adar, and killed 300 men in Susa, but they did not lay their hands on the plunder. Now the rest of the Jews who were in the king's provinces assembled to defend their lives and rid themselves of their enemies and kill 75,000 of those who hated them, but they did not lay their hands on the plunder. This was done on the 13th day of the month Adar, and on the 14th day they rested and made it a day of feasting and rejoicing. But the Jews who were in Susa assembled on the 13th and the 14th of the same month, and they rested on the 15th day and made it a day of feasting and rejoicing. Therefore, the Jews of the rural areas who live in the rural towns make the 14th day of the month Adar a holiday for rejoicing and feasting and sending portions of food to one another. Then Mordecai recorded these events, and he sent letters to all the Jews who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, obliging them to celebrate the 14th day of the month Adar and the 15th day of the same month annually, because on those days the Jews rid themselves of their enemies, and it was a month which was turned for them from sorrow into gladness, and from mourning into a holiday, that they should make them a days of feasting and rejoicing and sending portions of food to one another and gifts to the poor. Thus the Jews undertook what they had started to do and what Mordecai had written to them. For Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the adversary of all the Jews, had schemed against the Jews to destroy them and had cast poor, that is, the lot, to disturb them and destroy them. But when it came to the king's attention, he commanded by letter that his wicked scheme which he had devised against the Jews should return on his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. Therefore they called these days Purim, after the name of Pur. And because of the instructions in this letter, both what they had seen in this regard and what had happened to them, the Jews established and made a custom for themselves and for their descendants and for all those who allied themselves with them, so that they would not fail to celebrate these 2 days according to their regulation and according to their appointed time annually. So these days were to be remembered and celebrated throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city. And these days of Purim were not to fail from among the Jews, or their memory fade from their descendants. Then Queen Esther, daughter of Abihail, with Mordecai the Jew, wrote with full authority to confirm this second letter about Purim. He sent letters to all the Jews, to the 127 provinces of the king of Ahasuerus, namely, words of peace and truth, to establish these days of Purim at their appointed times, just as Mordecai the Jew and Queen Esther had established for them, and just as they had established for themselves and for their descendants, with instructions for their times of fasting and their lamentations. The command of Esther established these customs of Purim, and it was written in the book. Now King Ahasuerus laid a tribute on the land and on the coastlands of the sea, and all the accomplishments of his authority and strength, and the full account of the greatness of Mordecai to which the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Media and Persia? For Mordecai the Jew was second only to King Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews and in favor with his many kinsmen, one who sought the good of his people and one who spoke for the welfare of his whole nation. This is the end of the book of Esther and the end of today's scripture reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries.
We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional.
As we opened today's reading, we found this interesting story of the king who could not sleep. And so he gave this order to bring the book of records, or basically the history books, the chronicles of the kingdom, so that they would be read before the king. So imagine, he figures he's going to read some, have some history read to him, and he's going to fall fast asleep. And that is not exactly what happened. In it, he heard a story that he had forgotten about. It probably happened in recent history because Mordecai was someone who had some sort of position, though it's not identified what kind. He sat in the king's gate, which meant he was among the elders who would give counsel and that sort of thing. So it was some sort of a position of honor and counsel. And he had reported hearing of a plot that was being hatched to take the king's life by two of the eunuchs that served as the king's doorkeepers. And since this turned out to be a true report and the two doorkeepers were taken care of by the king for having plotted or conspired to assassinate him, it was recorded in the books that Mordecai had been the one that brought that information, and as it turned out, he did not receive any honor for it. It was simply forgotten in the midst, most likely, of dealing with the perpetrators. But when this history was read, the king suddenly sat up and said, "Wow, was anything ever done for him for doing this? What honor has been bestowed on him?" And the servants answered, "Nothing's been done for him." And then, just as God's providence would design, the very man who was plotting to have Mordecai the Jew hung on a gallows because he didn't show respect to him when he passed by, because his pride was and ego was always damaged every time he saw Mordecai refusing to bow down to him. And Mordecai, being a Jew, would never bow to anyone but the Lord. He wouldn't bow to an idol or to a man, but instead he would only bow before the Lord. He was not going to bow down to this man Haman, which, as you heard in the narrative, irritated Haman every time he saw him. It made him angry, and that's why he was plotting his destruction. Now, this story is a perfect illustration of how humility brings honor and pride comes before a fall. Mordecai was a humble man. He did his duty before the king and before God, and he was humble about it. He didn't brag about it. He's the one who saved the king's life. He never mentioned it again once he made the report about this plot to assassinate the king. He went about his business. He had a spirit of humility about him. And his humility ended up resulting in his being honored and lifted up in position and in influence. Haman, on the other hand, had a prideful spirit, an arrogant spirit. We heard it very well described in yesterday's reading, where he went home and bragged about his wealth and how the king favored him and promoted him, and how Esther the queen didn't invite anybody to the banquet besides him and the king. And he was feeling very puffed up about all of that. Just the day before, he's about to be hung on the very gallows he has made for Mordecai. Haman's pride and arrogance and presumption and hate-filled spirit ended up bringing his downfall. Mordecai's humility and servant heart ended up bringing honor to his life. But as the story progressed, we heard again and again of the providence of God intervening in the affairs of men. The fact that the king was awake that night to hear this story read to him in the chronicles or history of the kingdom and prompted him to do something was the intervention of God to spare Mordecai's life. Had that not occurred, the king may have said, sure, Haman, do whatever you want. If this guy's disrespecting you, dishonoring you, not doing what I said to honor my princes, sure, hang him on the gallows. He wouldn't have given it another thought. But God himself made sure he was awake that night to hear the story and realize he needed to do something to honor Mordecai. And that was a divine intervention that prevented Mordecai being the one that was hung on the gallows. And as we said in the introduction to the book of Esther, truly this book is a book that pictures that divine providence of God intervening in the affairs of men and how that divine providence can turn situations around that seem hopeless and impossible to win and cause them to be completely turned in another direction. Instead of Mordecai being hanged, Haman himself ends up being the one hung on the very gallows he made for Mordecai. And Mordecai is promoted. Queen Esther, who has such favor with the king, that when she approached him, when she wasn't called for, the king held out the golden scepter to her, which was a sign of the favor of the king. And she reached out and touched it, which was the practice or custom, which showed she accepted this reception by the king, this favor by the king, and allowed her audience with the king. And you know, it speaks to us about our relationship with our Heavenly Father, the King of Kings. The Lord himself has reached out with the golden scepter of grace, love, and mercy to a dying world, accepting us when we didn't deserve to come into the presence of the King, when we weren't worthy of entering his presence, when we weren't worthy of coming into relationship with the King. Yet the King holds out the golden scepter of his grace to us and receives us, brings us close, allows us to be in his presence, showers us with his favor and his love, and says, anything you need, any request that you have, I will grant it. Those were the words that this pagan king said to Queen Esther, but it's a picture of how God the Father speaks to the world and says, it's my desire to show you favor, my desire to bring you close, it's my desire to give you the kingdom. That's God's desire for us, a picture that we see painted beautifully through the story of Queen Esther. Do you have a petition that you want to bring before the King of Kings, and yet maybe you feel somewhat inadequate or not worthy to come and make that request before the Lord? I want you to see today that God himself is extending that golden scepter to you of his grace, of his love, of his favor, and telling you to draw close to him. And he's saying to you, make your petition, anything you ask. It's my delight to give you the kingdom. God bless you and give you a victorious week.
If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. Once again, that's P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Have a victorious week.